Hey, how are you, Suzanne?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You had a whole day full of interviews, or hope not.
No, you're my first of the day. I'm doing this, and then a podcast, and then just general promotion for the premiere tonight.
Oh, good, good. Are you looking forward to it?
Programming and all that. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you play Rufus, right? So make sure I got the name right.
That's correct.
Right. I watched the three episodes last night. So
wonderful.
It was good. It's a good show. I'm telling everybody to watch it. So.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's funny because at first I was like, well, this isn't very funny, and then I started laughing.
So. Well, that's what we were hoping for.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
Good. Go ahead.
I just say it's good, but it's not only funny, it's poignant, and we can all sort of relate to it right now.
Yeah, it's kind of the unfortunate point of the times is that we can all relate to this thing, which is, I guess, not entirely too common in sitcoms, you know, to have the theme completely all-encompassing everybody.
Right. Now, tell us how you got the role.
Sure. Well, it came at a point in lockdown when I'd pretty much sacrificed myself to doing nothing. You know, I'd accepted the fact that it was going to be a while before any work came up. Occasionally, there'd be some auditions for, you know, things shot traditionally on a set with everybody, and kind of felt like fan fiction to me. I was kind of like, yeah, okay, sure, you're going to make this? Like, you know. And then when I got this audition, it was cool because they said the premise, how they were planning on shooting it, and they wanted the audition to be unique and make it your own. You know, usually it's just in front of a blank wall with someone reading opposite you, but this time they, you know, encourage you to do it where you would shoot it, in your home. So I am lucky enough to have this bizarre detached garage office in my home, and it's covered in wood paneling, and it looks like a conspiracy bunker. So I went in there, I brought as much vitamin C, cold medicine, all the masks I had, face shields, just kind of put it all over the frame. And, it was nice to be able to have a place to vent all of my COVID frustrations. And, I'm glad that everyone at NBC agreed.
Great. So when did the filming take place?
Well, we are shooting episode 8, actually. We're finishing it tonight and tomorrow. But we started very quickly after I got hired. And we've been going for, a couple months now. It was a very, very quick turnaround. I auditioned. I got, I tested maybe a week later. I was hired the next day, and the day I was hired, they said, okay, tomorrow you're going to do the workplace safety meeting on Zoom in the morning. And then it was like we hit the ground running from that point on. It was nonstop deliveries of props and equipment and all this stuff to it was like the Santa Claus when he starts getting all the packages nonstop. Like that. It's kind of amazing that we've reached the end of these first 8 episodes now because of how busy I've been.
So there's 8 episodes total?
So far, fingers crossed for more, but right. That's where we're at.
And so was the, I'm a little confused, was the show filmed virtually or in your home, or do they have a set for you to go to?
It was completely in our homes.
Wow.
We all have got a crash course in technology. We filmed the show entirely on iPhone 11. So the only people that I have ever seen in a work context from the show are the PAs that come at the end of the day to pick up my phone and drop off new ones. So I have one phone on my desk, which I use as the camera, and another phone I use to control that phone. And then I'm on Zoom on my computer with the cast and crew. And that's how we do it. I have a mic I plug into the phone. I have a mic that I wear. And at the end of the day, we sanitize the phone, sanitize the sound card, and give it to the PA. And it's a whole process.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. So they should be paying you to be a cameraman too, right?
You know, the decision of how much to pay me is above my pay.
Right. It seems like they should at least put you in the union for like camera, sound, makeup, all the stuff you're doing.
I mean, in theory, sure, but I, at the same time, don't need to be paying those unions.
Well, yeah, true. Well, if they paid you the same for all those two.
Yeah, wow. Sure. You know what? I think I'd like to hire you to be my...
right. I feel bad, though. I feel bad for the people that normally do those things. I hope they're able to do something.
Well, they're actually still involved.
That's oh, good.
You know, because these are complex things that we are required to do, and we're in unusual circumstances, we have an entire crew on Zoom who's there to walk us through everything. So when we're setting up cameras, setting up lights, we have our incredible crew, camera department, saying, you know, change this, do that, move there, makeup and hair on there too. I'll get a text saying, you know, powder your forehead, fix your hair, that kind of stuff. So everyone's still there.
Oh, that's good.
It's just we're all. It's funny because you know it's a whole group of people who I'm sure would much rather be doing it themselves too.
Right.
Wow. I'm not good at these things.
Right. Well, they had to get, I guess, smart people on both sides to be able to go. You had to learn a lot of stuff, and then they had to learn a lot of stuff and convey it to you. That's amazing.
For sure, it's incredible, I'd say, how different it is. You know, we're on episode 8 now from episode 1. The setup time used to take a long time. There was a whole thing, but then we've developed our own language of just memorizing settings and doing all these things. I'm sure everyone on the cast is now, you know, so much smarter, or so much more technologically proficient than we were right before all this.
Right. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. You have shortcuts now, so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you and your castmates really seem like you've been good friends a long time. Did you do any type of pre-tape bonding to make that happen?
You know, we didn't really before we got started. I think the minute we got hired, Parvesh started a WhatsApp group chat for us and gave us a place to all communicate. And, you know, we reached out to each other on social media, found out who of us had mutual friends. People in common. I think it was just kind of an interesting thing where I remember I was saying when we first started, I had resigned myself to not meeting anybody new for months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much an extrovert. I very much like to socialize. So I was kind of, accepting of the fact that I wasn't going to meet anybody. So then we all got this chance to get to know a whole new group of people, and I think we all just jumped at it. And it's such a loving, wonderful group, and based on the nature of the show and how different it is, how new it is, I think we were all perfectly willing to just dive in head first. And, you know, we check in with each other often. The group text is chaotic and frequent. You know, we've had Zoom hangs outside of recording to just chat and catch up. And there have been a couple socially distanced gatherings outdoors.
I've gone
over to Jill and Keith's place. They've got a huge backyard, and you know, I went over with my girlfriend. We sat far away, and so, but that was even, you know, a month after we started.
Right.
So it is kind of amazing to see that we actually managed this chemistry without having spent much time together.
Yeah. No. Good. I'm glad you guys were able to get together and be friends in real life.
Yeah. For sure.
And had you met any of the cast or crew previously?
Not No, not I have not. I mean, I think I'd auditioned for something Martin had created, a show called L.A. Complex. I auditioned for that when I was living in Canada. Brendan Gall and Martin Giro and I were all Canadian. So he remembered me from that. But that was maybe 10 years ago. And then, I've had mutual friends with some of the other cast and friends with one of the writers, Carl Tart, who is going to be on the show later. It was one of those things where when we had that first Zoom workplace meeting, mm-hmm. A whole crew's on the Zoom. And I remember just looking through, trying to figure out who everyone was, and seeing my friend Carl and sending him a message on Instagram and just trying to pick out who might be in the cast. It was a very interesting kind of Where's Waldo situation.
And do you have to see the whole, when you do the Zoom things, it has to be on the phone, right? You can't have like a big computer screen.
Well, I have a desktop computer, so my setup is different. Every one of the actors has a bit of a different setup.
Right.
And I'm fortunate that I'm always in this bunker, and so my angle is basically the same. So I can have my tripod in front of my big desktop computer, and I have the Zoom on there.
Oh, good.
And so that makes it easier. And in terms of, like, seeing the actors, when we actually do the scenes, we're doing it straight to the lens of the camera, but we do one rehearsal before we actually record where we just look at the computer screen so we know what each other is doing, because otherwise we're just kind of winging it,
Yeah, it's a lot of people to try to see on a little phone or even a big phone.
It can certainly be overwhelming.
And aside from the obvious things, what was the biggest challenge you faced during filming?
I think the technology was a challenge in its own sense. Of course, we could have expected that. These things are not designed to be doing what we're doing with them, but we've all found a way. I think it's certainly a challenge to know what to do with yourself with all this going on. I think beyond the actual show and filming the show, it's an incredible experience and an incredible thing to be on an NBC sitcom, It's definitely the dream for an actor to wind up in this situation. Yet at the same time, we're still on lockdown, We're still in our homes. We're still not going out. Things are still closed. There's still a pandemic. There's still, a social justice movement going on. So it's definitely bizarre and challenging to, accept that this is happening at the same time as, I finished shooting and then I'm still in my house. I drove to go see the billboard that we had on the Sunset Strip, but then, went back to my house. I got the premiere tonight, but I'm still in my house. it's hard to wrap your mind around, I think.
Right. Well, at least you have a good commute, though.
Yes. No, my commute's great. Fortunately, I'm very rarely late. I've been late. Very rarely.
Yeah, no more LA traffic, so that's good.
Yes, exactly.
What was the best thing about playing this character?
I think that for me, playing Rufus has been a lot of fun because we're not entirely dissimilar. I'm not as crazy as he is. I'm not as out there. But I certainly take this virus a little bit more seriously than a lot of people I know. So getting some of the pandemic aggression out in a funny way is very nice for me. And I think it's also nice because he genuinely cares about his friend. I think there are people that can be angry, and certainly I spoke about it with Brendan and Martin about not making him too grating and angry, but he's somebody that genuinely cares. When he gets mad, it's because he's worried about his friends, and that was nice.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about this show is the people seem very real, your character could have gone too far. You don't want to be one of those sitcoms where you're like, oh, I hate that person. Why are they using that person so much?
Right, exactly.
That drives me away from sitcoms sometimes. And what do you think audiences will like most about the show?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that audiences enjoy seeing people who are going through what they have gone through and are still going through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from my perspective, I think we're seeing a lot of people in the country and in the world, you know, wanting this to be done. You know, they want the virus, they want the pandemic to be over, and they want to kind of think of it as out of sight, out of mind. But I know that there are so many more of us who are still taking it seriously, still being careful so we can take care of our friends and our neighbors and our family, and, you know, keeping people from getting sick and doing what we can to protect everyone else. And I think it'll be really nice for them to see people doing that too, you know, and still having a good time, still being together and still being connected, you know. And I think that that's going to be wonderful. But also, the people that don't do that stuff, they can laugh at us for whatever reason they need. Necessary.
Right. And
something for everyone.
That's right. And what have you been doing to pass the time, as it were, during the pandemic, before this?
Well, before I got the show, I definitely went through all the phases. I think we all did. I was baking. I really got to the point where I was really nailing this Julia Child sandwich bread, a white sandwich bread recipe, and I got that down. A lot of butter. But that was good. I was doing that. My girlfriend and I, we were doing, you know, a lot of movie marathons. Early on in the pandemic, we watched all the Harry Potter movies, watched a lot of TV. But interestingly enough, it took until yesterday to do our first puzzle. We bought a 1,000-piece puzzle we just started. And I don't know how it took us this long. At least, well, I didn't know until I started. And then I was like, right, that's why we didn't do this. We had missing pieces or dropped the puzzle on the ground. It's a whole thing. But it's going to be a challenge. And that's my next project, I think, getting this puzzle done.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now, I have a friend who likes puzzles, and she was having trouble finding puzzles at the beginning of this. But I think eventually they were more available.
I think they're all sold out.
Yeah. So it's like the toilet paper.
A board game. sorry, go ahead.
It's like the toilet paper. You couldn't get it for a while because people were hoarding it, and then now you can get it.
Exactly. Yeah, and I live near a small independent board game and comic book shop, and I went there to get the puzzle, and the guy that runs the place was like, you know, I wouldn't say we're recession-proof, but certainly for this, when everyone's stuck at home and they need entertainment, we're in a good spot. I can imagine that everyone was selling out of puzzles.
Right, and probably the comic books too.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't have any, do you have any other projects coming up or that you've been working towards or were working towards before the pandemic?
Nothing that I can really speak to right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's always stuff kind of, you know, up in the air. And I think with the pandemic, it put a lot of a pause on a lot of things. And I think we're just kind of waiting it out. I write stuff. And I think that the best stuff I was doing before the pandemic that I'd like to do more of eventually is, a friend of mine runs a Home Alone film challenge that he started at the beginning of all this, where, you know, you'd have one weekend to write, direct, edit and star in a movie by yourself at home. And so in a way it prepared me very well for this, because we used the same app that we're using to shoot the show on. So I made a few little films and it got my creative juices flowing in a really nice way. So hopefully more stuff like that in the future.
Cool. Well, thank you for speaking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for talking with me.
And I hope the show's a big success. I'll be rooting for you.
Me too. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.